Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Amen, amen. So good to see you on this cold Wednesday night. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. He is so good. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans 5, 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. One verse to start out with. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Let me say that again. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. We have spent some time over the last months clarifying our sonship. We should know by now that if we are washed in the blood, filled with the Spirit, we are the sons of God. The earnest expectation of the creature is waiting for the sons of God to manifest. The only way the sons of God will manifest is if the sons of God know who they are. Some of us are still trying to become sons. Some of us think there's a way that we can get into the club, that he lets us in somehow if we check off enough criteria. But we're born into our sonship. And being born into our sonship, we now have an obligation to manifest that sonship. Let me say it like this. God didn't save you to sit on a church pew. You can learn a lot on a church pew, especially in this church. But you'll never accomplish anything sitting on a church pew. God's called you to do something for the kingdom. Can you say amen? Now, we put a lot of, we take a lot of stock in Adam's fall, and we understand that the whole world fell because of Adam, and we understand that by one man's offense death reigned by one. We understand that. And I think sometimes though we take too much stock in that, because we got to understand that even though the world fell by Adam, the world was redeemed by Jesus. Now, I don't want to get too theological with you right now, but I do want to tell you this. I believe that what Jesus did was greater than what Adam did. So if what Adam did affected the whole world, I must say that what Jesus did affected the whole world to a greater degree. Because where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Vicki, I know what Adam did, but I got to understand what Jesus did. Because if Adam tore it up, and we give him a lot of credit for tearing it up, then I've got to give Jesus a lot more credit for putting it back together again. Amen. I understand that we're all born in sin. I know that. We're born into sin. I got to be careful with that verse, because we build a doctrine around that one verse that David said, I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And I really think he was talking about his birth, his personal birth. And we build a doctrine on that. But I do know this. We are born messed up. And we put so much credit on that to Adam, but we got to understand that Jesus came to undo what Adam did. So even more than what Adam did, Jesus did something for us. But the truth is, it's hard for us to believe what Jesus did is greater than what Adam did. We think that, well, you know, there's some that can be saved, but we believe that Adam destroyed the whole earth. Everybody's going to hell. But Jesus came, and what he did will save some, or there's a few that might make it. I'm going to tell you this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Who did he die for? He didn't die for a select few and just a little. He died for the whole world. Now we're waiting. Kevin, we're waiting. And this is what makes me so tore up about. I don't want to be mean. But I sat in church and I listened to things that made me want to strive to be better. And I found out that the more I strove, the more frustrated I became. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There was this goal or this standard that I was supposed to reach, and I wanted to reach that standard, but I found within me this battle that took place, and there was something in me that I couldn't obtain that thing. Even when I really wanted to get there, I couldn't get there on my own. But I learned something. And this, I want to help you. I'm so glad, whoever you are, I'm glad you're here tonight, because this may help you. You will never get there on your own. I don't care how determined you are. I don't care how disciplined you are. You will never obtain that outside of Jesus Christ. The only way we're ever going to get to that place is by and through the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's not by power. It's not by might. But he said, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. But I still find myself thinking that if I'm stronger, God is going to bless me. I still find myself saying, if I'm more devoted, that God's going to bless me. I find myself, well, if I can fast this much and if I can do this, then God will take notice. I'm going to tell you, he took notice a long time ago before the foundation of the world. And that's why he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Do you understand? You're the reason that Jesus died on the cross. You're the reason. Well, not necessarily me, but maybe so. No, you are the reason. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. So here's where I struggle. What are we waiting on? Why are the sons of God not manifesting? Or maybe they are, and we're starting to miss it. I don't know. Maybe you don't follow sports. Maybe you don't care. But I'm going to tell you this. I've seen testimonies come out of Ohio State's football team over and over and over. Player after player. Did anybody see this? They went out on campus and they were sharing their testimonies on campus. Thousands of kids started coming out to hear this. And way into the night, they pulled a tub out and started baptizing people on the campus. And we say, oh, that's just a fleeting. Here's what we think. Let's be honest. We say, well, that's great for now, but that's going to fizzle out. That's our mindset. What was that place down there the other day? It was a year or so ago, and everybody was, where was it at? Asbury. I heard somebody say this. Well, that fizzled out. Has anybody heard that? Has anything heard anything about it lately? We're like, oh, it's just a thing that's going to come. Well, there has to come a point when the family of God understands that it's time for the sons of God to manifest and say, I won't let this fizzle out. I won't let this go by the wayside. As a matter of fact, sons of God should walk in unity to the place where we see a fire start burning. We should fan the flames. But too many times, if it's not our church or if it's not our clique and if it's not our creed, we get beside ourselves and say, well, that's not real. I'm going to tell you right here, God will work. Who will let him? Let me say it again. God will work. Who will let him? We got all this revelation and we got all this knowledge and we got all this doctrine and all this theology. And God's saying, why don't you just open up your heart and let me move through you and quit trying to get so smart about it, because this race is not to the swift. I got a burden. I got a burden, and I really think God is going to birth something in this place for this area. I do believe that. Why do you believe that? Because I believe there are some people, and tell me if I'm wrong, that are getting hungry and aren't satisfied with status quo religion anymore. It's not enough to come to church and sing my three praise songs, give in the offering, listen to the preacher yell at me, and then go home and then come back Wednesday and then come back Sunday and then come back. That can't be the extent of my relationship with Jesus. It's got to be deeper than that. It's got to be to the point when people walk in my house, they can feel the anointing, because it's a tangible relationship that does something and liberates people and sets them free.
This ain't even in my notes. For by one man's offense, death did reign. I want to take you back to Luke. We talked about this some months ago. Luke 14, 15 and 16. Luke chapter 14. Watch this. And when one of them that sat at meat heard these things. Let me back up. Back up a verse if you would. Give me verse 14. I want you to notice what Jesus is saying. Jesus is talking. He's laying things out. He said, and they shall be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. I want you to watch this. Somebody heard him say that. Listen to what they say. Verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall. That word shall is will. That is future tense. He's saying, well, blessed is him that will eat bread in the kingdom of God. What he's saying, Dave, is, yeah, someday that's going to happen. Right? He's saying, yeah, it'll be a blessing someday when people, but they'll be blessed as he that eat. Now watch what Jesus does. He rebukes him so kindly. Verse 16, he goes into it. Then he said, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. Watch this next verse. And sent servants at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are. No, say it again. They're what? He's saying, yeah, you know, in the future, someday. And Jesus said, no, it's ready right now. Now I hope you see this. Because he said, oh, you know, they're going to eat bread in the kingdom someday. Jesus said, that time is right now. I mean, the very bread from God is standing right before them. That measure of glory, that measure of manifestation, that measure of God is standing right in front of them. And you know what the guy had the audacity to say? Well, someday it might happen. I'm telling you, I'm done with someday. I'm done with tomorrow. I'm done with next month. I'm here to tell you, we serve the God of right now. He's right now able. So I'm telling myself, Randy, I say, well, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to get this down, and when we get enough knowledge about it, then God's going to bless our knowledge. And God, he said, no, I'm ready to do it right now. He said, come, for all things are now ready. This is a parable of the kingdom. How many times have you read this in Scripture? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know what that means? Right now. This is not future. We have put this into glory land for too long. Try that again. We have thought that if we came to the altar, gave our life to Jesus, struggled through our life to try to live for him, that one day we're going to make sweet heaven our home, and y'all pray that I make it in somehow. I have literally heard testimonies like that in church as a kid. Y'all pray that one day I make heaven my home. Jesus never did. He said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We're striving to get to heaven. He's striving to get heaven to earth. We got to figure out it's not about the glory by and by. It's about right now. So what's stopping us? It's okay, I know I'm the preacher, but y'all can talk to me if you got an answer. What's stopping us? We have the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The same spirit that invaded the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea and raised Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that quickens our mortal body. What are we waiting on? Oh, I'll tell you, because I know human nature. I know how we think. Well, preacher, I'm going to tell you. I've been working on some things. And when I get to this certain spot, I'm not as righteous as I would like to be. And when I get to this righteous point, and I don't know if you know this or not, righteousness don't have a scale. You either is or you ain't. I mean, how righteous are you? Well, I'm about a 3. How about you? I'm a 10. No, you're either filthy rags or you're righteous like he's righteous. Think about that. So is you is or is you ain't? It's either you are or you aren't. There's no sliding scale on righteousness. But let me make sure let me show that. Does anybody feel like there should be? Do you ever think sometimes I'm more righteous than other times? Come on, raise your hand if you think that way. Where you at on your scale right now? Would anybody like to stand up and confess or repent? Come to the altar? Would you like to go up the scale? Because if you come to the altar and pray, that takes you up the scale. Because if you're a 2, we can get you to a 4 at least before you leave. That's called a double portion, and we're qualified to give that away. If you're an 8 and the scale only goes to 10, you're in trouble because we can't get you to 16. That you're just oversaved. We think that there's this scale, and he's saying either you are or you aren't. And because you are, you got to understand who you are, because it's time to manifest who you are. You're my child, washed in my blood, filled with my spirit. There is nothing else coming your way to make you more righteous. You're as righteous as you will ever be. This is where we should shout. This is where we should dance and say, you know what? I'm not on the scale. I'm as righteous as I will ever be. Listen, if you're saved right now, you will never be more saved than you are right now. You say, I know this bothers some of us. I know we feel like that we need to say, well, preacher, we need to strive and we need to fight. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you being a son of God. You don't strive to be a son of God. Amen. You are born into your sonship. Now, once you are born into your sonship, you have a duty and a calling to manifest that. What's he ask us to do? He's asked us to love him and love our neighbor. You know why? Because this world does not understand the love of Jesus. I've been preaching since I was 17, and I'm just now figuring out what it's all about. Amen? Don't get upset. Aaron, I don't know how long you've been following me around preaching. Years now. You and Rob have been little Damonites, they called them. I'd go preach somewhere, and there they were. Don't get upset. Don't get upset, because here's the thing. You know what? We've been called to grow. And if you think you know everything right now there is to know about, this is why people camp out on certain subjects. They get in a certain subject and they camp out on it because they want to be absolutely right. I'm going to tell you right now, we are to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's all of us. So there's a growth in this, right? Amen? And as we grow in this, he reveals things from glory to glory. Amen? So we're moving in this thing. And as we move in this thing, there comes greater revelation of what this is all about. When I first went to church as a young person, I said, this is for old people that have no temptation in their life. Because I'm turning around, I can't nobody roll. Can't nobody win this battle unless you're old. That was my conclusion of Christianity. So I thought, you know what? I'll hang out until I get old, then I'll start going to church. And that has to be the revelation of a lot of churches, because there's a lot of churches that have nothing but old people. Do you know what I'm talking about? You go, here, you want some butterscotch? So I thought, that's the way. You know what? You know what? Even though I've been preaching since I was 17, if you have the righteousness of Jesus, you are just as righteous as I am. So you know what that means? That means if you're willing, God can do something through you quicker than he can somebody that's been in it for a long time. Say it again, preacher. What are you waiting on? Well, I'm waiting until I get older. Well, let me tell you what's happening when you get older. Can I preach to you for a minute? You're going to say, man, I wish I was younger. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I remember I wanted to get out of school so bad. I wanted to be an adult so bad. And now stuff hurts. I'm like, man, if I was just younger. He said, serve me in your youth. Amen? So, you know what? Can I pick on you too? You're quiet and shy and sweet thing. You know what? God can use you if you'd open up your heart. You just got to open up your heart and realize who you are. Keep going, preacher. No, I can't. Because we got to get this. We need to touch our community. We need to touch our families. And here we are trying to figure out who we are, and he keeps telling us who we are. Okay, we're waiting to reign, right? We're going to reign. Anybody ever heard of the millennial reign of Christ? Well, I heard that a lot when I was a kid. We don't teach on a lot like we used to, and we don't talk about it a whole lot like they used to. But, man, it was all about the millennial reign, and we're going to reign, and we're going to reign, and we're going to. Take me back to Romans chapter 5, verse 17. I want you to see this because you missed it. I can't wait until we reign in the millennial reign. Watch this. For one man's offense, death reigned. Who? What reigned? Death, right? Death reigned. From who? From Adam to Moses. That's what death reigned through. That's not in the scripture. That's another scripture. Much more they which receive abundant grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign. Where? Where? In what? In life. We have changed that to in glory or in the future. He said, no, in life. You're going to reign in life. Let me say it again. You are going to reign in life. Whose life? Your life. You're going to reign in this life. You have been called to reign right now. We're waiting on the sweet by and by, and it ain't coming. We're going to wait till glory, and this don't do any good in glory. It has to do good in this life. We have a creation that's waiting for us to manifest. We're waiting to die and retire.
Yes, I'll see you in the rapture. I'll see you in the rapture.
That's what I listened to as a kid growing up in church. Everybody trying to get out of here. Everybody was just ready to walk the last mile together and do all that stuff and get to heaven. And you got to understand something. He called us for right here in this life, and we should be reigning. But how are you going to reign? In life by Jesus Christ. So if you're not reigning, is it Jesus' fault? Obviously not, because nothing is his fault. So if I'm not reigning, guess whose fault it is? It's mine. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What is stopping me from praying fervently? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Who? Everybody raise your hand. Me. It's me. It's me. It's me. Well, let's fix it. Let's fix it. Let's fix it right now. Not wait. I know you're waiting until, I don't know what you're waiting for. Well, I tell you, preacher, I tell you. When I'm going to reign in life is when I get this 401k built up and I retire, and then I'm going to be an awesome Christian. But right now I got to get this done. Too late. Too late. Well, I got this plan, and if I can just get this certain house and this certain car and this certain job and this certain salary and this certain wife and the certain little kids, and they just got to be just right, and the million-dollar family, I'll have a boy and a girl, and then we're going to be good, and everything's going to be wonderful, and then I'm going to reign. No, you're not. Because you don't reign by your position, by your salary, by none of that. None of that brings you to reign in life. You can only reign by one, Jesus Christ. Well, you got him right now. And if we got him right now, we should be reigning. So here I am. Man, I'm going to preach to me. Is that okay? Because I'm really good at preaching to me. Here I am wondering about all this stuff that's going on, saying, God, oh, this is horrible, and that's bad news, and that's bad news, and oh, this is bad news, and that's bad news. And that. And he said, where the word of the king is, there's power. Oh, well, I heard this, and oh, it's looking bad, and it's looking really bad. And he said, I didn't call you to look at that. I called you to look unto me, the author and finisher of your faith, and understand who I am. And don't look at the storm, but look through the storm and see me. Do you get it? We've been called to reign, and we get that gift of righteousness through him, and that's how we reign. Everybody with me? I says, oh, yeah, man, it's going to happen. It's going to happen one day.
We're going to eat bread in the kingdom one day. And the bread's right there in front of them. I tell you what, preacher. When we get that church built, tell you what's going to happen. I'm not going to wait. Amen. Say it again. I'm not going to wait for that to happen. I can't sit and wait. Because I'm going to tell you, that doesn't change any of this. Oh, come on. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You feel like if you get to this certain point and then everything's going to get good and then you're going to be better. Single people's like, man, if I could just get married. Everything will be better. I can be a better Christian. If I get married, it's going to get good. That's why these people in Bible college, they just, you know, freshman year, you want to marry me? God said you was going to marry me. They show up, they're just like, oh, I'm going to get married because it just make them a better Christian and to do all that stuff. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? If this could happen, and we got all kinds of things that we put out there. He said, you're going to reign through Jesus. Now, it's already happened to us. I got more verses. Can I read them? Come for now. Okay. Being righteous. I want you to listen to this. I wrote this down today and I about shouted. Being righteous is more than just being in right standing with God. Because we have made this so legal because of Calvin. Calvin was a lawyer. He loved legal terms. Have we made every bit of this a courtroom setting? Christianity and salvation is a courtroom setting. It shouldn't be in the courtroom. It should be in the living room. We have made this all justification is a legal term and sanctification and this and adoption is a legal setting and it's all legal and it's all legal and it's all legal. Being righteous is more than being in right standing with God. Give an example. Stand up here. Me and him have an issue. What's the older people call it? A falling out. A falling out means that we don't talk anymore. And when we don't talk anymore, he is not in right standing with me. People can ask you, how does he stand with you? Not good. Not good. We come together. We work out our differences. God bless you. You are in right standing with me now. See you later. You ask me, how's he with you? We're in right standing. He's in right standing. When's the last time you talked to him? Oh, it's been years. But he made it right. We're in right standing. And you know what we do? We do that in our Christian walk. Well, I'm in right standing with God, but when's the last time you've talked to him? It's not enough to get justified in a courtroom setting. This is so good if we can get this. We want to be justified. I don't know how many people just got pardoned, but it was a lot. A lot. And some of them weren't white collar crimes either. It was like somebody's running around so happy right now. You heard that preacher when he prayed at the inauguration? Did y'all hear that? At the end, he said, free at last. That's what all them people got pardoned running around. It's like, I'm with you, man. Free at last, free at last. Thank Biden, I'm free at last. They got pardoned. And they're running around, but you know what? They're never going to talk to him. So we want to be justified, and we want all the legal things to be right. So when we stand before him, all the paperwork is in place. Can you imagine standing before God with a briefcase? Why should I let you in? Well, let me tell you what happened. What had happened was you justified me May 13th, 1994. You sanctified me. You called me. You did all this stuff, so we're good. He never says, depart from me, your paperwork is wrong. But we've made this so legal that we've missed it. He said, depart from me, I never knew you. That ain't courtroom, that's living room. So here's what he does. This is so good. And I know you've heard me say it before, but we need to learn this because we're like, okay, I'm justified. You're free to go. You've been pardoned. Great. That's not what he does. He says, hey, I forgave you, and now I'm going to adopt you. Greater. He didn't just forgive me, he adopted me. Who, hey, I appreciate the fact that I'm justified. I'm even more happy I've been adopted. And you know what he's saying about my adoption? Go tell the world. Tell the world who you are. If we get this, Doug, we will stop going to the feet of Jesus and groggle at his feet. We'll go and lay our head on his chest. That's tweetable. Exable. Whatever it is. We don't. You're not a beggar. You're a son. Not just a son, you're an heir. Not just an heir, you're a joint heir. Do you know who you are in this? You can reign right now. So here's what I'm thinking. I'm praying, God, where's the church gonna go? Man, I wanna see this happen. I wanna see this. I wanna this will happen. And when we get to this certain point, we're gonna start. I'm done with waiting for that point. I'm done waiting, Tracy, till I get holy enough to speak into things in my life that I have power over. Because I promise you I'm righteous enough. Oh, let me say it again. We are righteous enough. Because remember, there's no scale. So you're either 100 or 0. So if you're righteous, you're righteous enough. So we need to start acting like we are who he says we are. Am I beating this up enough? Because, man, if we get this and we stop begging God to save our kids and we start speaking to those spirits to let them go because we have walk in sonship and he said, these works that you see me do, he said, yeah, you're going to do these works, but you're going to do even greater works than these. So anyway, probably about a month of this preaching and maybe two, we'll start laying hands on people and asking God to heal them. Once we get it down pat and everybody's good on the, you know, when we get to this certain point, and we got to have the majority of us there though. So on our sliding scale, we'll grade you. And if you're not high enough on the scale, we're going to ask you to leave when we pray for people like they used to. Could you step out of the room? The only thing I ever seen Jesus ask to step out of the room was the Spirit. That's my dad. Come on, Shane, we're going to pray for you. We're not going to wait till a month from now. We're not going to wait for 2 months from now. You don't even have to play. I'll make it even more awkward. Don't play anything. You are a son of God. You believe that? Then that means that anything that the devil is bringing, he's trespassing. And if Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, you know how much that means the devil has? Zero. Well, but preacher, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And you know who he gave that power to? His bride. Guess who's his bride? Me. Tracy has power over my bank account. She called me and said, hey, I'm going to buy me this. I said, absolutely. I have never said, no, nah, no, you ain't been acting right. Have I ever said that? I've never said, no, you need to come up a little bit higher on the wifey scale before you start pulling out and cashing checks. If you get a little bit better at that vegetable soup. No, sir, that's my bride.
She's a good one. She ain't perfect. She's a good one. You ain't perfect. He didn't call you to be perfect. If he did, he wouldn't have called you. Amen? So what are we going to pray? They went up and prayed for that guy, and he immediately, he receives, his ankle bones receive strength. And they said, what, man, we didn't do this. This ain't on us. You know what I believe, Shane? I believe you can walk out of here and not experience what you've been experiencing because we are the righteousness of God. And I believe God heals people because he loves people. I used to think you had to pray a certain formula. Because when I got in church, they argued about everything. How to baptize, what name to baptize in, how to pray. Some people said baptize in the name Jesus. Not the name of Jesus, the name Jesus. Some people said just baptize Jesus. Some people said baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus. Some people said the name of the Lord. Some, I'm like, good gracious, man, this is crazy. But I'd lay hands on people and I was like, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Maybe if I say it right. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe if I say it right. No. No, it's not. It's about who I am. And I'm his child. So when we pray, we don't. What are we waiting on, Thomas? Let's just go ahead, pop your e-brake and say, you know what? I'm rolling with this thing. I'm a son of God. I'm not waiting to get stronger. I'm already strong enough. You say, but I'm weak. Well, let the weak say they're. See, you can't lose in this. Heads or tails, you win. Right? Was that old country boy said that time? Gave us power to tread on. What is it? Serpents and scorpions. He said, serpents bite from the head and scorpions bite from the tail. Heads or tails, I win.